for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken, right here on Pickup Country 104.9 FM, streaming live at listenlikealocal.com or on your mobile device with the free WSKV app for Android and Apple users. Tonight's program is made possible in part by Whitaker Bank, Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Powell County CSEP, Mercy Health, Appalachian Wireless, Citizens Guarantee Bank, Clark Regional Medical Center, Hinkle Contracting, Davis & Davis Funeral Home, Toyota South, Ace Hardware & Feed, People's Exchange Bank, Teddy Flint, Attorney at Law, Whitaker Insurance Group, Protect Security and Fire Systems, and Apex Network Physical Therapy. Let's join Ken and Dave for PCSN Live from the Stanton Studio.
And good evening, everyone, and welcome to another edition of PCSN Live here on WSKV 104.9 FM. This is Dave Faulkner along with Ken Simon. It's kind of a pregame to the pregame, if you will. We are actually broadcasting in the studio. Ken will leave a little bit early to head out to the game, get set up for our radio broadcast tonight. We will be covering the Powell County, Wolf County varsity game in its entirety. It'll be both on WSKV radio and on NFHS if you want to see the video coverage of the basketball game. So both will be covered, and we'll be going on the air in the gym about 7:15, I think. So between 7 and 7:15. Plenty of time to get you guys started out on the radio side after our PCSN broadcast here tonight.
Yeah, actually looking forward to the game. We've not seen the boys play all season long. Both of their games have been on the road thus far. They're 1-1 on the season, and a big matchup here against Wolf County.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Hopefully there's a big crowd out to support the boys tonight. Again, took a big loss last night. We'll talk about that in a moment. But again, you'll finally get to see the boys here at home. Again, their first two games have been on the road, and we're kind of excited to bring you the coverage of the boys' game. We've seen, and I'm not sliding the girls, we've seen them now four times. We went one on the road with them and then had three at home. And then we'll have the first broadcast of the boys here tonight. So it's been like a while since we got started, but it's time to get a boys' game in.
Yeah, since we've not really seen the boys since the red-white night. Yep. And at that point, it's more along the lines, did a little bit of a scrimmage and more or less skills face-off, I guess, if you will, skills challenge, and we've not seen them. So, again, looking forward to seeing this team.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Again, congratulations to Alan Martin. Became a father over the weekend, so congratulations to him. And now he's actually had his first game under his belt last night. We'll have game two, first game at home with the new baby for Coach Alan Martin. So, again, congratulations. Glad everything went well. And now we'll get to the COVID updates for today.
Yeah, the last thing people want to, in a sense, kind of talk about it. But we'll go back to last Wednesday. Last Wednesday, our numbers had jumped all the way up to 100 active cases. There were 29 new cases on December the 1st. And then we moved to last Thursday. There were 18 new cases. The active case count jumped up to 112 a week ago on Thursday. And then on Friday, there were 21 new cases. 9 were released from isolation. That brought the total active count to 123 at that point. So now we segue back to Monday. There were 18 new cases. However, 33 were released from isolation. So that dropped the number, even though we had more new cases, that dropped the number down to 108. So the fact that 33 came out of the isolation, even though there were still 18 new cases, 108. And then we get to yesterday, there were 15 new cases, 12 were removed from isolation, bringing the active count to 111. And then today, 15 new cases, 18 released from isolation, bringing the active count to 108. The total case count for Powell County, 2,973. 2,839 have recovered, 26 unfortunate deaths, but still the active number 108. So from a week ago, even though the numbers went all the way up to 123, we're more than where we were a week ago at 108.
Well, here's what the trend seems to me, then what you just read. We're averaging 15 cases per day for over a week.
Yeah.
So, I mean, here we were. I don't think we've ever averaged that many cases.
If we did, it's in a week been long. A while.
Again, we are at one of the highest numbers we've seen here since, I guess, 9 weeks ago, 10 weeks ago, something like that, when we had our last surge. And Powell County has really kind of been one of those counties that just never got to the, I don't even think we got to the yellow. I think we have stayed red the entire time. I know some of the, a lot of the counties in the state went yellow, and some went, a lot went green. And then now I think everybody is back to red and orange. I don't think there's any yellow counties left. They're all red and orange. So we're seeing a statewide surge, and Powell County is one of those counties leading the charge.
And this is still the Delta variant.
Yep.
There are no confirmed cases in Kentucky with the Omicron variant at this point. So this is still the Delta variant.
And regular COVID, whatever.
Exactly, right. And or the initial COVID outside of the variant. But the fact that we can't seem to get over that hump, and I know people are still trying to do what they can in many respects, but at the same time, apparently it's still not good enough, kind of, with the numbers kind of increasing. Now, whether that's the social distancing, the washing of hands, whatever the circumstance may be, and even going back to Thanksgiving, this is kind of that...
This is what we expect.
The follow-up, yeah. Right, from, you know, people going away and or having family come in for Thanksgiving. So this is kind of still a part of that at this point.
Yeah, we go back a couple weeks ago, you know, and Dr. Orr canceled school those last couple of days prior to the break because the numbers were getting high. And I think kudos for Dr. Orr for trying that strategy, knowing we're going into a Thanksgiving break where we expected the cases to go back up after the break about a week or so, and we're there. And that's the point we are now to, that's why you see the 15 cases a day kind of surge. And that will probably continue for the next few days. And hopefully, you have to say it gets worse before it gets better. But we got another long break coming up with Christmas break, and you're going to see more families together. We got ball games going on. And this is I can say now after being on the road. People just aren't following the instructions at the games. Not only here, as we saw it in Wolf County as well, just people don't adhere to the advice of wearing a mask. Now, that being said, I think they're trying to stay in pods. We are seeing more people that are at least staying in maybe little family clusters in the bleachers without masks. But still, I don't think it's a good thing. With the numbers as high as they are, people are sitting and watching a game for an hour and a half or longer. And without protecting yourself and others.
Well, including the students, for that matter.
Correct.
It's across the board in many respects, and I think it goes back to the fact that, obviously, everyone is tired of it.
Yep.
Everyone is tired of having to follow these mandates, if you will. Obviously, a lot of people have been vaccinated. Some haven't. Under those circumstances, it's like people don't want to wear the mask. People don't want to socially distance at this point. Again, everybody's just kind of fed up, and it's like almost on one hand, let the chips fall where they may.
Right.
Just like the flu or the cold or any other stomach virus or whatever else, let the chips fall where they may. I'm just going to go on and live my life and kind of take my chances.
Yeah, but we would be remiss to say that without saying we have lost 26 folks
yes.
here in Powell County.
Yeah.
And that is a really kind of a stark reminder that it's real. It's out there. I know there's some out there that are going to say, it wasn't COVID, it was something else. And I would say if it wasn't for COVID, it may have been nothing else. I'm one of those that believes that it is real, it is severe. I've seen, you know, watched my wife get sick, my daughter, they were real sick and they were vaccinated. So I would just hate, and I know we've got friends in the hospital now that are still, and they're younger, unvaccinated folks that are just not doing well. And we can, again, continue those thoughts and prayers there for those folks. But, it's real.
It is real. And I think on one hand, I think that most people think that it's real. I think most people are still of that mindset that it's not necessarily going to happen to them. And therein lies the problem is that we know it doesn't matter if you're vaccinated or not vaccinated, you can still get it. And even going back to those unfortunate passings, those deaths that at that point, yes, maybe they did have additional health issues within themselves, but you're right, more than likely that COVID put them more at risk,
right,
and created additional issues that they weren't facing, whatever health issues that they may have had. It's almost like you're that tipping point,
yeah,
where it tips that scale and all of a sudden it goes in the wrong direction, and that becomes a hindrance of being able to get back to yourself and dealing with whatever those health issues potentially were.
And again, I've talked to several people about this, and I will say this. My mind won't change on that, and I don't think theirs will either. So we will have to agree to disagree on causation. And again, once you lose somebody, it doesn't matter what the cause is. You really don't care. But if it's COVID and could have been prevented, it's tragic. It really is. And I mean, I was the same way with seatbelts. If you had a car accident without a seatbelt on, it's still tragic. But it is what it is. It's a choice, and these are just choices people are making, and we'll have to just kind of go on and say it's people's choice to do what they choose to do, and again, nobody chooses to get sick, but it's going to happen.
And unfortunately, it is happening, right? Mm-hmm. All across the state, all across the country, and it's unfortunate again that we have this additional variant with different symptoms and things along those lines, and then it makes you wonder as it continues to mutate what other variants are down the pipe that are going to be coming along.
Well, we haven't, the early research on the Omicron is that it's not as severe. The cases haven't been as severe as like Delta or the original variant, but you don't know what's coming. It's just like the flu. There's probably 50 strands of the flu that can come out each year, and it's just, it's going to mutate. It's going to change. That's what viruses do. I mean, we just have to kind of stay out in front, and hopefully folks will get vaccinated and get the boosters, because I think they're going to be helpful. And I'm not a person that's always got the flu shot. So you'd always come back to me and say, well, you didn't get the flu shot, and you are correct. And I do honestly think that this is a little bit more severe than the flu. And I could be totally wrong. People will argue, people die from the flu every year. Yes, they do, but I don't think the numbers are quite as high. But regardless, we're going to take a break, come back with sports here in a moment here on PCSN.
ProTech Security and Fire Systems. Your security is our business. Visit the Powell County Sports Network page at WSKVFM.com.
With Whitaker Bank's new home equity line of credit, qualified applicants can borrow up to 90% of their home's value with no closing costs. With Whitaker Bank's home equity line of credit, you only pay back 1% of your balance monthly, and you process your withdrawals with Whitaker Electronic Banking. Stop by Whitaker Bank and see how our new home equity line of credit can help you. Whitaker Bank proudly supports your Powell County Pirates. Whitaker Bank is uniquely Kentucky, member FDIC, and an equal housing lender.
Community. What does the word mean to you? Here at Citizens Guarantee Bank, community means everything. It's why we do what we do. As our community grows, we are here to be your helping hand, putting your dreams to work. Our community has very exciting opportunities and challenges. Let us help you build your future and meet the future needs of our community. My name is James Clark, the Powell County Market President here at Citizens Guarantee Bank. At Citizens, we are your hometown bank, and we are here for you because we are you.
Stop by any of our convenient locations in Stanton, Irvin, Berea, Richmond, and London. My money, my bank, my CGB.
Citizens Guarantee Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender. Qualifications and rules may apply. See institution for details.
Toyota South in Richmond is moving forward. Family owned and operated since 1915. Meet General Manager Charlie Johnson.
I was raised right here in Powell County by my grandparents. They taught me to be honest and treat others with courtesy and respect. And that's what you can expect from me. I would like to personally invite you to take the short drive to Toyota South in Ridgeville. Whether you're looking for a new or used vehicle, as General Manager at Toyota South, I will make your short drive well worth your time. Come see me soon at Toyota South in Ridgeville.
Toyota South in Richmond. Online at toyotasouth.com or call their friendly staff at 877-605-4326.
New driveway, parking lot, or large aggregate need? Hinkle Contracting Company specializes in all things crushed aggregate. They provide expert delivery and more, depending on size of application. Call Natural Bridgestone today at 606-663-2815 or Tipton Ridge Quarry at 606-723-4881 or find out more information at hinklecontracting.com. For all of your asphalt and aggregate needs, think Hinkle Contracting Company.
And welcome back here to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken here on WSKV 104.9 FM. Again, we would like to mention, we don't mention this very often, but these recordings or these shows are actually uploaded to the station. You can go back and listen to any of these shows on the PCSN News. Go there and then click on the links for any broadcasts that you would like to listen to again that we've had on the previous previous folks that we've had on the air. And saying that, I'd like to say this. First of all, we had a accident with one of our students yesterday. Colin Barnes was actually driving the vehicle and had a collision with actually Hope Branham, which was Hope was part of the – she always kept booked for Coach Jones. What her daughters played, Amber and Emily, played basketball and softball for us. And Hope had a fractured femur and I think a wrist injury, and both those were corrected today in surgery. And also Amelia Barnes, Colin's sister. We've had her on the show a couple times this year. She is your defending regional cross-country champion, 7th and 8th grader. That she also had a fractured femur, and that was also surgically repaired yesterday. And our thoughts and prayers go out to both those folks. And, Amelia's only in 8th grade. She's also on the varsity basketball roster for girls, which we're going to talk about in a moment. So, again, our thoughts and prayers go out to Amelia and Hope. And, again, for Amelia, we were talking on the show. We were hoping for her to maybe be a 6-time regional champion. And let's hope that her because she was in good shape, because the musculature maybe around the bone may help that out. And we saw John Hood have a similar type injury a couple years ago in football, came back to play baseball again, and he seems like he's okay. He didn't come back to play football, but he did play baseball, or does still play baseball. And let's just hope that the recovery goes well for Amelia, and she can get back out and get some running in.
Yeah, again, our thoughts and prayers. It's so unfortunate. Life is so fragile in so many ways. You know, you wake up every day, you know, you're heading to work, heading to school, yeah, wherever you're going, in a sense, just even on the road, just at any given time. And just like that, your life can be turned upside down. Again, just realizing that when it's raining, snowing, whatever the circumstance may be, just even in general, slow down, yeah, take it easy. I even, you know, shared this with somebody not too long ago. The difference between going 60 miles an hour and 70 miles an hour is 10 minutes. That's it. It's just 10 minutes. And if you're that pressed to get someplace, you know what I'm saying, to exceed the speed limit and take those chances of whatever else for 10 minutes, and I get that sometimes we all get behind and we all kind of rush or whatever else, but in general, when you think about it, that 10 minutes is not worth it.
It's not much difference.
No, and sometimes, you know, you get behind slow people, and all of a sudden sometimes it's almost like God's way of saying just slow down, yeah, right? Just slow down, and or maybe even protect you from something up ahead. Again,
yeah, and we're not saying that was what the cause of the accident was. I know they had mentioned on Facebook that there was some water runoff from a driveway that maybe could hydroplaned or yesterday morning could have seen a slick spot with some black ice.
Something, yeah.
So regardless of the cause, I saw some pictures on Facebook. The truck was just destroyed. Didn't see the pictures of Hope's vehicle, but Colin's truck was. And here's the thing. They came out with – two folks came out with fractured femurs, and that's a terrible injury. But the damage that was done to the vehicles, I think everybody's lucky and fortunate to be alive. So
yeah, agreed. And obviously that's the main thing under those circumstances. Yes. Again, it just goes back to, obviously, we're getting into colder temperatures where we're going to have that black ice, mm-hmm, things along that line. Just be careful.
Yeah, you just be careful out there. We don't want to hear any more of these accidents going on, so we'll just kind of go on the show. And again, Colin, one of our boys basketball players, will be action tonight. And again, let's just keep our thoughts out for Amelia and for Hope. Again, both opposite vehicles, but again, similar injuries. So let's keep the prayers out for both those Pirate families. So recap, the girls last night played at Wolf County, and I'll let Ken kind of go over some of the scoring.
Yeah, the Lady Pirates actually had started the season 0-3, had a nice outing against Leslie and Morgan, very similar games in a sense, where they got down early, tried to fight back, couldn't quite get over that hump, and then ended up ultimately losing by 12 points in each one of those games. Lafayette out of Lexington, in a league of their own in a sense, as far as the competition.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, that was the first game of the season. And Lafayette, I've not necessarily kept up with where their team is at this point, but they're a very good team, very well coached, well disciplined. Very active shooters along those lines. But still, the Lady Pirates did travel on the road last night to Wolf County. Got a nice victory, 65-48 over the Lady Wolves, who are very shorthanded. They don't even have enough players to field a JV squad. So it was just a varsity game. We tipped off at 6 o'clock. But the Lady Pirates came out in that first quarter and had a 21-12 lead. Yep. And that's the first time that we've seen the Lady Pirates come out like they did in that opening quarter. And we felt like going back, after seeing those first three games, if they could get out of the gate in that first quarter, they would put themselves in a better position, and they did, even though at times they got up as many as 15 points, I believe, and then Wolf cut it down to 4 at one point. and then the Lady Pirates would push it back, and then Wolf would come back again. Once you get that lead, though, you have to be patient on offense. You can ill afford to turn the ball over on consecutive possessions and allow the other team to get back into it, and that's what they did. But this team, they're going to continue to grow and continue to learn and capitalize on the opportunities that they have. It's just a matter of putting it all together for four consistent quarters.
Well, Makaira Caller was phenomenal last night. She had 27 points. I don't know how many assists she had, but it was probably close to a double-double, and possibly, and I don't know the rebound count, but the rebounds were probably close to 10. She had she was very active. I think I saw some stats later on this morning. Never mind, I checked that. I know she didn't have the rebounds. But Presley Hall had 9 rebounds, Ken. I was unaware of that last night. She led the team last night for the Lady Pirates with 9 rebounds. Again, we didn't see her in the scoring columns like we usually do. But again, she contributed in different ways. She got a bunch of rebounds and hit one really big shot to end the third quarter. That was a huge play in the game. But again, Powell County got up by double digits. Wolf County fought back, cut it to 4. Powell County got up by double digits. Wolf County came back, cut it to 4. Did that twice through the game last night. After the timeout by Coach Marion there, I think it was probably in the third or maybe at the beginning of the fourth quarter when Wolf County was on another one of those runs. And here was the thing. Powell County came down and settled for 3-point shots and missed. Wolf County went down and made a couple shots. And it doesn't take only a few possessions. 3 possessions gets you from 14 or 13 to 4. It only takes 3 made buckets, and again, 3 misses, 3 makes, we're back in the ballgame.
Well, and even with Wolf County, I think they came back and hit 3 consecutive 3-point shots, and the Lady Pirates had only scored 3, so just like that, you cut 6 off of the score there, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden, you're right back into it, and that's basically when Coach Rob Marion called that timeout at that point, like, okay, we got to stop the run, and we've got to get ourselves reorganized again.
Yeah, Ken and Neil had a pretty good game on the inside last night. They were getting the ball to her early, and I think we kind of got away from that a little bit last night. In last night's game, we started settling for threes, and when you look at the end of the game shooting percentage, we only shot 20-some percent, I believe, on the game. And, again, that's just not good enough. And on the season, our shooting is just not where it should be. You got to be around 33%, and we're not there. We're only at around 20-some percent for the season. I think around 25%.
I'm actually going to correct you because I'm.
Go ahead.
I thought that would be the case, but I just pulled up the stats from last night. They shot 51%.
From twos and threes.
Correct. Twos and threes. Yes. And then from 3, 31%.
Yes.
The free throw line, though, where they've 50%. Struggled all season, 40%.
Oh, 40 last night.
Last night, 4 out of 10.
50 on the season.
50 on the season. Of course, now that's going to drop where they hit 40% last night, but that's an area that definitely has to improve as far as their free throw shooting. I'm kind of surprised that it's where it's at that 50%, but a lot of times, though, it looks like it's just right there, and all of a sudden it hits the back of the rim, bounces off, and doesn't necessarily go in. They're good-looking shots. They're just not actually dropping, in a sense.
Well, Makaira Caller was the culprit of a lot of those misses last night. However, again, she still had 27. Her only weakness, again, was missing the free throws. I think I can only remember a couple turnovers for Makaira last night. Her turnovers improved. She still got a lot of rebounds, the points, the assists. Just really struggled with the free throw line, but her shooting improved. She had 3 3-pointers, I think, last night. And again, that's not coming from a player that we're expecting those threes to come from. But man, that's a nice addition to your repertoire. If you can add the 3 to the driving skills that she had, now if she can just convert those driving shots where she's fouled into extra points that she could get. You know, I tell you what, sky's the limit. But again, last night was by far the best game that she's had this season.
Yeah, I would agree. She actually shot 58% from the field for twos and threes, 11 out of 19.
And very now acceptable. Very acceptable.
You're exactly right. But now it goes back to some of the other players who are going to have to step up offensively. You can't just rely on Makaira Caller, who's coming in. She was averaging already like 16 to 18 mm-hmm. points per game. Obviously, her average is going to go up. But you can't just rely on her to be getting those 20 to 30 points per outing game in and game out. Somebody else is going to have to take the load. Now, we saw Kansas Stevens the game prior, where she came out, had double digits, had a really nice game, but then only 2 points last night. So,
Not as many shots taken either, though.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Actually, well, she shot 5 times, Not nearly as many as she probably should, but still 1 out of 5 for 20%. Kayla Neal, 1 out of 4 for 25%. Presley Hall, 2 out of 7 for 29%. You know, obviously, Kenna Neal, 9 out of 13, 69%, which she's shooting 70% on the season.
Yeah.
And Coach Rob Marion and the players are trying to get her the ball more down inside.
And they have struggled getting those clean looks. We saw, I know Chloe Greger threw one that was just, she wasn't open. She tried to force it in there from the top. Those passes are a lot easier from the wing, working the ball down, getting somebody open, helping them out. Dribble two, pull off some defense. We saw Makaira do that beautifully a couple times. Drive, they cover her and drop pass. She did that several times last night, and that's just good basketball. But again, it's good to get Chloe out there in that top to work on some point guard skills, because we're going to need her in that spot, because I know Makaira will get in foul trouble again. I promise it's going to happen, because that's one weakness that she does has is she is prone to get in foul trouble. And last night she stayed out of foul trouble, therefore she got 27. And again, that's part of it. I know a couple games she's been out almost a quarter of the game because of foul trouble. Well, last night she didn't get any, so her point total went up.
Yeah, and a couple of times, too, she was very aggressive defensively, but
always.
Then at times learned when to back off a couple of times, which is, you know, again, it's showing her maturity.
Hopefully.
Exactly, you know, and kind of backing off just a little bit to not pick up that foul. And then other times, it's just kind of where she's reaching in, trying to get a steal or whatever else. I love the aggressive play. It just goes back to it's hard when you're in that situation and you're trying to pick somebody to go up for a layup, and she did that countless times last night. It's hard to not have that mindset when you're that aggressive of a player. It just goes back to realizing you are a key piece of this puzzle, a key piece of this team, and you kind of have to be careful when you're kind of doing those things.
Yeah, they'll be back in action tomorrow night versus Lincoln County, so a long road trip tomorrow night. Again, no coverage on that game, and then they will play Saturday. They will play Clay County, and we will have that here on the NFHS app, at least likely have it on the radio side as well, I think. And that'll be the next two for the girls. I think Bluegrass United is on Monday.
Correct.
We'll have that game as well. So that will take us into next Wednesday for the show. We'll kind of recap those three games next Wednesday night. But we have Lincoln County tomorrow, Clay County on Saturday, Bluegrass United on Monday, and then we'll be back here next Wednesday to kind of recap the week for the girls. And again, hopefully going forward, they picked up on some things that they improved on last night and can carry that forward to Lincoln County, who's going to be a tough opponent. And then they are going to have Clay County here on Saturday, which should be a very competitive game. And who knows what Bluegrass United. Again, that's normally a group of homeschool students playing out of one group out of Lexington. So you really never know what you're going to get out of those groups. But again, good luck to the Lady Pirates going forward.
Yeah, and I think in general they're showing improvement in different areas. Again, we both like this team as far as what the roster in a sense and even some of the player rotations.
Right.
It's just a matter of collectively as a unit, some of those players that are coming in, you've got to be able to pick up some of the slack. Obviously, you mentioned Presley Hall. She came in. She ended up getting those 9 rebounds. Again,
you got to do something extra if you're not getting the points. You got to do a little extra on the other side.
Exactly.
You know, Kansas Stevens playing good on defense and picking up some rebounds as well. So there are other ways than just scoring. But to me, to be a winning program, you got to have at least 3 kids per night to put out a double digits on the board.
And obviously, they're capable. When you look when you look at Kansas and Presley on the wings, in a sense, they're capable of putting up those points. It's a matter of being able to make those shots. And then again, be smart when you're actually in and contribute, as you mentioned, however you can, whether that's blocking out, getting a rebound. We haven't seen necessarily a whole lot of diving on the floor, going after loose balls, things along those lines, those 50-50 balls. You've got to be able to do that. I'd like to see them do a better job of rebounding at times.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like at times they're not necessarily blocking out like they probably should. You know, to get a body in front of somebody, put yourself in a position to pull down that rebound. A lot of times, too, some tipped rebounds, in a sense, kind of going out. And then, you know, sometimes, obviously, the other opponent will go get those. Sometimes the Lady Pirates would taking advantage of that. But still, it goes back to you've got to do your part collectively, continue to improve and get better. A long season to go. Still, the sky's the limit for this team, what they're capable of putting together.
Yeah, let's hear from them going forward. We'll step away for another break. Come back and talk about boys action for the last week and talk about the upcoming game tonight here on WSKV and PCSN Live.
When you need insurance, contact Whitaker Insurance Group in Stanton, proud sponsors of the live broadcast of your Powell County Pirates on Pickup Country 104.9 FM.
The team at Appalachian Wireless wants to say thank you as they kick off the holidays with a special event, the Appalachian Wireless 30th Anniversary Holiday Sale. Appalachian Wireless is celebrating 30 years, and we want to say thank you with a holiday sale that will make everyone's holiday merry and bright. From now till the end of the year, visit us in-store or reserve online for an unbelievable sale and giveaway. We know what you want for the holidays because we are you. We are Appalachian Wireless.
Welcome back here to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. Again, this is Dave Faulkner with Ken Simon. And again, we will be bringing you the Powell County Wolf County game tonight from the gym, but it's only a 2-minute drive from the station to the gym. So again, Ken's going to head out here a little bit early tonight and get the equipment set up, and then I'll close the show out. We'll wait for Caitlin to get here, and as you'll kind of kick us off to going into our broadcast on the NFHS app and here on WSKV Radio.
Yeah, the boys looking forward to, again, seeing them. They ended up defeating Morgan County on the road to start the season. A nice, impressive victory, 66-30, to give Coach Alan Martin his first victory as the head coach of the Pirates. And then they traveled on the road to Williamstown last night. Ended up losing that game 71-51. Obviously didn't quite have the effort, the take, or whatever else. But Williamstown was 2-1 on the season, had only lost by 6 points to Eminence. And their loss, so, you know, 2-1 team, and obviously coming away, getting a nice 20-point victory for them. But now it's up to the Pirates to come back here at home, get back on their winning ways.
Well, I will say this, too. Williamstown was one of the teams that beat us last year.
Yeah.
It was a close game. It was late in the season. And it was also one of those games, I can reflect back and say this, that was a game that was definitely slanted, the officiating was definitely slanted toward the Pirates in that game. And I can remember it vividly. I think it probably should have been a 10 or 12 point victory last year for Williamstown, but we got all the 50-50 calls plus a few others that maybe had not been the right calls, but again, we'll take what we can take. And again, it just again, going to Williamstown and playing on the road, it's always about a 10 point difference when you play on the road because of the officiating. You don't know what you're going to get when you go there. That area of the state is going to have a different style of play than we are. So it's going to be called completely differently, and our kids probably aren't used to that, which I'm not making excuses one way or the other, but, you know, one of the comments I got heard today was they looked like they were like they played last year. And my comment back, and this is Dave being Dave, but it's the same group of kids. I mean, and I don't mean that in a negative fashion, but it is the same group of kids that played last year. That they're going to look like last year from time to time. Again, that's no slap on anybody's face. It's just, this was a 3-win team last year, and we're hoping to improve to about, in my opinion, to an 11, 12, 13-win team.
I think you're right. You know, they've not had a whole lot of success against Williamstown. They played them 4 times. They've only won once, yeah. And that was the initial game. And then since then, they've lost 3 in a row to Williamstown. So Williamstown is always a tough matchup, especially on the road under those circumstances. But I think, as you mentioned, you know, when you have those same players coming back, and at that point, yes, they're probably going to be better conditioned. They're probably going to be better suited. But having not seen what Williamstown has, right, whether it's a height advantage, speed and quickness, I mean, who knows under those circumstances. But sometimes when you get down, as we saw with this team before last year, everybody wants to be the hero,
yep.
Right? Everybody wants to be the superstar. So
everybody wants to get theirs.
Right? So therefore, you're probably tossing up shots and shooting that you probably shouldn't. You should have passed. You're probably getting a rebound, and instead of passing it back out again, you're trying to force one in. Your shot probably gets blocked, and then they're coming down and scoring the other way. So, again, it goes back to, even though it's a new season, you have to capitalize off of what you do good and cut down on those mistakes, and you can't allow yourself individually to think you're bigger than the team. There's no I in team, as yeah. We've heard for decades, in a sense. They just have to realize that and continue to work together as a team. And you win as a team, you lose as a team.
And this team has to do some one thing, learn how to win. I mean, losing was, and I'm not being mean, losing was easy this much last year. We have to be able to take take this to a different level. Take people like me who maybe question whether you're good enough to be a great team or not, and use that to your advantage and learn how to win. But you got to listen to your coaches. You got to kind of follow their instructions and their guidance. I don't expect to go out and win all my games when we play. So I know I'm kind of hard on folks, but I'm also hard on myself when I'm coaching my own group. My expectations are high, but I also know what reality is. So reality is this is a team that won 3 games last year. It's a different coach, but it's the same players plus one. We added Colin Barnes back. That's really the difference. I mean, so you're looking at some of the same kids we had last year, and they got some really good experience last year. Going forward, I think that's going to benefit the team throughout the season. But at some point, we got to pick up a win over a team like Wolf County, a team that we just got maybe blown out by last year. And I'm not counting Morgan County because they were pretty good last year and beat us pretty soundly. And I think we beat a team who was probably in a rebuild mode. But we've got to go establish ourselves against a team that's a – and we got to rebuild ourselves into the team that just dominates schools that are smaller than us. We got to go into Owsley County and say, you have no chance beating us. We got to take on the Wolves and say, okay, guys, we're going to be competitive with you guys. They're smaller schools than we are. We should be more competitive than what we have been. We know some of the issues, but let's don't make them crutches. Let's find a way to get better.
Well, and I think, again, it goes back to the fact that some of these players, in a sense, they think that whether you're starting or whether you're, you know, subbing in for somebody or whatever else, when you come in under those circumstances, do what you can do in order to capitalize on that opportunity that you have. Cut down on your mistakes. Dive for that loose ball. Block somebody out. Set a screen.
Play harder.
Take a charge. Whatever it is, play harder. And when you play harder, good things come. It's that extra effort that makes all the difference in the world. I mean, even last night, a couple of times when the girls game, we saw where the Lady Pirates were trying to make passes. Mm-hmm. Well, what was Wolf County doing? Especially Brianna Caldwell. She's stepping right into the passing yeah. lane, right? And telegraphing that and coming back and scoring. But that it was that extra effort on her part, almost like a defensive back, where all of a sudden you're covering that receiver, and all of a sudden you catch that, and you see that ball, and you take a break on it and cut in front of that receiver to take that interception. It's the same thing here. You have to do those little things. You can't sit back. You have to go towards the ball. You can't stay flat-footed and expect the ball to come to you, because guess what? That defender is going to make that extra effort, step into that passing lane, and potentially go down and score, which could be the game-winning point.
Well, here's a challenge I'll throw out here right now. We know what's coming in. We got Wolf County coming in. This is a scrappy group of basketball players. Now, I think they are quite a bit down from where they were last year. They do have a couple kids that came back this year, decided to use a senior year as a comeback, and they got a big kid inside. We know what they're going to do. They're going to play hard. They're going to come in here. They're going to dive on the floor. Robert Scott's not going to accept anything any less than that. But I think they're a little down from where they were last year. This is a time where Powell County can step up and say, look, we're also going to play as hard as you or harder. It's our home floor. You're not going to come in here and beat us on our home floor. That's the kind of attitude I want to see step up here for Powell County tonight.
Well, let's even go back as an example, too. If you remember, I don't remember if it was last year or the year before, the Buckhorn team that came in. Of course, back then they were all, you know, a bunch of them had mullets or mm-hmm. whatever else, and they came in. And I think sometimes when you have Powell across your chest, you're sitting there looking at someone like Buckhorn or even a Lee Rousley or something. Yeah, well, at that point, you're sitting there thinking, we got this. But guess what? Even with the Lee County players, they go all out. They're going to leave it out on the floor. They might get beat by 30 points, but guess what? They're not going to stop. They're going to be relentless. They're going to stick with the game plan, in a sense, and out-hustle you. Now, I'm not saying that they're going to outscore you, but they're at least going to out-hustle. You can always count on that with those particular teams. Now it's up to our team in order to do that themselves and out-hustle and out-quick everybody else in order to come away with those types of performances.
And if you go back in a lot of history, Ken, you're going to see that if you look at I haven't looked at it yet, but the Lee County, Owsley County, let's just look at years past and the matchups. I guarantee you we're over 50-50, but it's close. And that's just who we have always been. We've got to get out of that and fix some things that are wrong with our program and get out of that and be one of the big dogs. Be like a Perry Central or be like a Letcher Central. Those are the two biggest schools in the region. We're number three. We've got to start being who we are. We're the third largest school in the region. Let's start performing like the third largest school in the region. And we haven't done that really in the history of Powell County basketball. So that's my challenge to the basketball teams is we got to step it up a little bit. We got to step our entire program up. And again, we know what the issues are on the feeder system coming up. We know the issues. We gotta get it fixed, and it's going to take time. It might not be this year. It might not be next year. It may be 6 or 7 years down the road, but we got to fix the problem and get these kids in more experience, more time to play. And it may take more AAU ball. It may take more just travel ball, whatever it may take. But we got to get this thing back on the winning track.
Well, and even using the UK game last night against Southern University, Kentucky won by 12 points. But you know as well as I do, though, Kentucky being Kentucky, they're probably sitting there, Southern University comes in with a 4-3 record. We've got this, right? Well, guess what?
That's when we're challenged at UK.
Yeah, exactly. Right, because at that point, guess what? Southern showed up, and they played out. Had they had a big, they probably could have potentially beat Kentucky, and they didn't have a big. But under those circumstances, though, Kentucky probably overlooked them, thinking, we have this. And I think that's part of Powell's problem is that we're overconfident and think because we're this big school that we automatically are able to beat other players, but you have to perform out on the court.
This is just me being as an outsider looking in. We seem to shift the blame away from who's responsible. Again, you can blame the coach. You can blame all you want to. At some point, you got to take ownership. If you're one of the players, it's on me to fix it. It's on us to fix it. It's not on it. You hire a new coach, so be it. It doesn't mean you're a different person. You got to go out there and show that you're different. And I want ownership of this team, and I'm going to make it better. You got to get out there and do it on your own, regardless of the coaches.
Yeah, and we've said that time and time again. Yep. It goes back to I have to be individually accountable to myself, and what am I bringing to the table or to the court or to the field? I have to do that. I have to improve myself. Mm-hmm. Now, guess what? Hopefully you're doing the same thing. Well, and then when we come together at that point, collectively, now let's get that chemistry going and we can collectively work together and be a better team collectively together. But once, if you're overconfident and you think that you don't have anything to do,
once you have someone step up and do that, it's going to be like an avalanche. It's just going to snowball and snowball. It's going to grow and grow and grow. You got more kids fighting to get better, and then we got a program. Then we got something. So you got to take ownership of what you can or can't do. You got to be the person. I mean, as a coach, I always tell my kids, I'll take the losses, you take the wins. But kids have got to step up, and they got to be bigger than just, okay, yeah, we got to be these coaches' fault. No, you guys play. You guys got to be the one to execute. Coaches are responsible to get you ready. You got to go out and execute what the coach tells you to do.
Well, there was a saying years ago when Michael Jordan was playing, I want to be like Mike, right?
Work like Mike then.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And unless you're working like Mike, you're not going to be like Mike. You can have lofty thoughts and high aspirations, but if you're not putting forth the effort and the practice and all of that stuff to improve your skill set, you're not going anywhere. And you could be overconfident about yourself. And we talked about this time and time again as well. If you can't dribble left-handed in the game of basketball, you're doing yourself and your team a disservice because guess what? You did not work on your individual skill set in order to become a better player during the offseason or during the season, and you have no one to blame but yourself. It's just like a test. If you go in and you fail a test, and I get some subjects are not necessarily our forte in a sense, but if you didn't study and if you didn't put forth the time and the effort to learn the material and you fail, you have no one to blame but yourself. So if you're not winning on the court, you have no one to blame but yourself individually. And if you're not playing, what are you doing to get playing time? What are you doing to make yourself better to get the coach's attention and say, guess what? I am better, and you prove that in practice in order to get game time.
Hey, I was a kid growing up. If I failed a class, guess whose fault it was? It wasn't the teacher. It was old Dave screwing up because I knew I didn't work hard enough to get better. It's on us. We got to fix things to get better. So, again, boys will play again tonight. We'll have that game on here in about 30 minutes. And Friday night, big game at Owsley County, district game, huge impact. Again, in the standings, the seeds, whatever. They don't play on Saturday, do they?
They do not, no.
So their next game would be on Tuesday at Montgomery.
Correct.
And 6 and 7:30 start time there. We, again, I don't think we're covering that game, or at least as of yet. It's a questionable 50-50, game.
50-50, yeah.
So possibility we cover, but likely no. But if we do, we'll be on at 7 o'clock. And then we'll recap again all the activities next Wednesday night here on PCSN. So we're going to step away from a break. My partner may be leaving me, but we're going to step away from a break here on PCSN Live.
Ace Hardware, East College Avenue, Stanton, want to wish the best for your Powell County Pirates at their sporting events, in their academics, at home, or wherever life takes them. Next time you need an item for your lawn or garden, building needs, small or large project, plumbing, electrical, tools, including Craftsman, DeWalt, Husqvarna, and so much more. Remember your Ace Hardware right here in Stanton, East College Avenue, Ace, the helpful place.
Pre-planning your funeral should be a natural part of life because it provides you with time to make end-of-life decisions in a calm and rational atmosphere. Start the online planning process now or meet with one of our pre-planning advisors here at Davis & Davis Funeral Home for your end-of-life celebration. We also offer tribute videos, memorial websites, and live funeral webcasting. Contact Davis & Davis Funeral Home to discuss the possibilities. Find us online at davisanddavisfuneralhome.com or visit us at 777 West College Avenue in Stanton.
And while Ken is heading out to the school to set up for the game, I want to kind of recap some football. The football state championships there played at Kroger Field in Lexington. And here are your six state championship games. In Class 1A, it was Pikeville over Russellville, 30-27. It looks like a very close matchup there. And then it was Beechwood. This is a Class 2A championship. Beechwood versus Lexington Christian, another close matchup. Beechwood over Lexington Christian, 23-21. And in the 4A championship was also played last Friday night, was Boyle County over Johnson Central, 30-13. And big thing there is congratulations to Boyle County. Again, the coach down there, Justin Haddix of Breathitt County. And the sad story is I would like to see Johnson Central pull that off. No other fact that Coach Matney, the lost their coach during the season, longtime coach there at Johnson Central, been really nice if they could have pulled that one off in the state championships, but fell short to Boyle County. But Justin Haddix has got that program going in the right direction. Again, Saturday, you got Class 3A championship, which is the classification that Powell County is in. It was Belfry getting their swag back, if you will, 33-28 over Paducah Tillman. In Class 5A championship, so now we're getting to the bigger schools. South Warren, 38, Frederick Douglass, 26. And then in the 6A championship, it was St. X, 31, Male, 21. So both teams out of Louisville there in the championships of the 6A playoffs. But again, some really close and contested matchups. Sometimes you see these state tournament games, you see blowouts. And I liked seeing this. It's a... really, the biggest margin was the Boyle County game at 17, followed by the South Warren over Douglas, 38-26 by 12. So some really, really good contests going on there. So, you know, thanks to folks at the KSAA for putting on a good tournament. Thanks for all the teams for competing to be able to really showcase their talent this year in football. When you look at what happened on Friday to get those teams there, and Saturday, it was Pikeville defeated Raceland, 36-7. It was Russellville over Bethlehem, 34-21. Beechwood beat Mayfield, 38-7. LCA defeated Middlesboro, 58-0. Belfry over East Carter, 48-26. Paducah Tillman, 39 over Glasgow, 20. Boyle County over Logan County, 54-16. It was Johnson Central over Franklin County, 42-24. Douglas beat Owensboro 35-7. South Warren over Woodford 46-25. And Mayo over Trinity 48-21. And then St. X over Madison Central 31-21. Mike Holcomb there of Madison Central. So good to see him back. So we had a couple of former Breathitt County coaches and a player there that are in the state tournament. Nice to see that mix as well. At the same time, we're also having a tournament in Breathitt County, I think, this weekend, the Peggy Moore Classic, and we are, I think it's about 5 years ago this week, lost Peggy, one of the great coaches, great friends we had. I had here in the 14th region, coaching at Breathitt County for years, played at Breathitt County, All-State player in her time of playing days as well. So, again, she is missed still here in the coaching profession. So, again, a big deal. State tournament looking nice. Again, that is concluded. So now all the fall sports are finished. The cheer competition, I'll kind of go back to that real quick here. It was online, and now I've lost it. Had it up here for just a second, but the scores are posted. I did see that when I got to the website, but now I don't see it on this page, so I'm going to have to see if I can go back and try to find it again. Maybe get you some of the results. It says it's posted online, but I can't find where that would be, so I do apologize for that. Can't bring you the info. Major League Baseball, we'll just go there. Owners have locked out the players, and that they can't have any contact. They can't do any trades, any transactions on major league level. And I'm not sure all what they're fighting over. I know the players are looking for more competitive teams. No tanking for the teams, and that will affect their draft status. Again, we're seeing players sign for record amount of money. Yet they're not all happy, and I understand. It's not the high dollar guys. It's the mid level or the veterans who turn 32 or 33, and nobody's willing to pay those guys what their value had been because they had so much service time and arbitration that they had to go through to be able to get there, and because a lot of teams hold down their talent levels so they can keep them on the clock as long as they can, so they can gain a competitive advantage and keep those prospects longer so they can be more competitive at a cheaper level, if that makes any sense. So basically it's kind of like this. Hunter Green, one of the hardest throwers in Major League Baseball, and has never pitched an inning in the big leagues. Will probably come up next year. It's probably, they're forcing him to come up on the clock. I think 3 years service time, you can go to be declared a free agent at a certain age. So you could either kind of bring him up now or whatever, but we've kept that cat down. He's been a number one prospect for 2 or 3 years. I think the kid's been ready to go. We just haven't freed him up. He did come off of Tommy John surgery last year or year before last, so obviously he was going to be left down this year to kind of recover. You also saw, like, Jonathan India held down for as long as they could hold him down. He came up. He got the MVP award. So you look at it that way. Some teams bring up the talented kids at a younger age. Wander Franco came up at 19. Fernando Tatis came up at 19. Some of these guys are coming up at a really young age, but they're getting high-dollar contracts. These guys are signing, these already signed to an extension. Wander Franco played half a season, and he's got a 10- or 11-year contract with Tampa Bay. So the big players are getting the bulk of the money. But the guys like let's say Brandon Phillips, for an example, he turns 35 and they say you're too old. He was still productive when they let him go. He went to another team and couldn't get it done like he had before, so they let the guy go because they weren't willing to pay the guy $10 or $11 million. I don't think they probably should. They could probably bring a minor leaguer up that could play as good. The problem is he didn't pay maybe as much as he was worth while he was playing. That's where the players are having the problem. And when they can become free agents, if you're just a mediocre player, they can find a minor leaguer that's just as capable and pay them a whole lot less money to bring those kids up and let the other guys go. Maybe nobody picks them up, or they pick them up at a reduced rate. So that's the kind of guys they're fighting for in this union fight with the players. I respect the side of the union. They are taking care of business as they should, but it seems like every year that this agreement's up, the owners have to give more and more back to the players when they're already getting a pretty good paycheck. So I don't feel sorry for any of those guys making good money. I do think the system does get manipulated because of wins and losses, tanking, whatever you want to call it. It does get manipulated. So they have some legitimate concerns, whether you see a DH in both leagues. I think that's something that's going to be discussed, and extended playoffs going up to like 12 teams versus what we have now and a different rate. But the players will have to agree to all that before it happens. So those are just some of the things that are coming up again during this lockout. And real quick here, I want to try to switch gears, talk about the college playoffs, football playoffs. If you give me a second here to kind of pull up the football, the playoff system. So we have the rankings now are Alabama number one. You have Michigan at number two, Georgia at number three, and Cincinnati at number four. Now, this is what I understand probably happened here. To me, it was either going to be Michigan or Alabama at number one. If Michigan had been ranked number one, then Georgia would have slid probably to four. But the way the ranking system is, they did not want Alabama and Georgia to meet each other again back-to-back sessions. So what they did is kind of manipulated the system. Instead of Cincinnati going to two, they're going to slide to four. So we're going to keep Alabama and Georgia not playing each other. So now it's going to be Alabama will take on Cincinnati and Michigan will take on Georgia. And what could be, Georgia been the most dominant team all season and really got blown out by Alabama in that last matchup, showing how good they are at Alabama or how good the coaches are at Alabama defeating Georgia. So it's going to be interesting to see how good the Big Ten is, how good Cincinnati is. They're 13-0. In my opinion, they should probably have been ranked number one. But it's political, and these less-than-power-five conferences are not supposed to be in the playoffs, and they are only there because Oklahoma State lost. If Oklahoma State wins their bowl game or their playoff game, they slide to the fourth slot. Regardless of Cincinnati's record, they're out because of the definition. You cannot win, you cannot lose more than two games and win a conference championship and then slide past one of those other conferences like Cincinnati. So this is it took a little bit of help from things that went right or wrong. Again, you had to have kind of Georgia kind of, if Georgia had knocked off Alabama, Notre Dame would probably be in. Had Oklahoma State won, you'd probably see maybe Notre Dame and Oklahoma State in the playoffs, and Cincinnati and Alabama may be out. But again, the way it worked out, Alabama is now number one, Michigan number two, so they're going to stay where they were. Georgia slides to three, which I think they should have stayed in the top four, and Cincinnati remains at four when they should have moved up. But again, they could not move up too much because they had to keep Alabama and Georgia away from each other, if that makes any sense what I'm saying. So, good luck. It's going to be some fun football. I'm kind of rooting for Cincinnati just to show that if you don't have to be a Power 5 conference to win a national championship. Is it going to take a lot? Yes, for Cincinnati to get over Alabama and then have to beat Georgia and or Michigan in the same couple weeks session. We'll see how that falls. But again, it's nice to see that team make the playoff run here in college football. So kind of getting back to high school sports. Again, we will be on the air here in about 15 minutes. Myself and Ken Simon bringing the broadcast from the Powell County High School, Powell County Boys Basketball, Powell County versus host, Powell County versus Wolf County. Tomorrow we have no games tomorrow night. The girls do travel to Lincoln County and play. On Friday, we will be going to Alsdah County to cover the Alsdah County Powell County boys game. And on Saturday, we will also have Clay County come and play the girls. Monday, we will have Bluegrass United here to play the girls. And on Tuesday, Powell County will travel to Montgomery County. And that's kind of a 50-50 game right now. We're likely not covering that game, but there's a possibility we will cover Powell Montgomery next Tuesday. So we will recap everything next Wednesday night, and hopefully our COVID numbers are going down. But the way the trend is going right now, I'm not sure that's going to happen. So stay safe, stay masked, distance, and keep those hands sanitized if you can at all possible. So, again, thanks for listening to us tonight. We'll be on the air again here in about 15 minutes or so from the Powell County High School covering Powell County versus Wolf County. Should be a good one. Come out and support your Powell County boys as they are back in action. First time at home this season. See you next week here on PCSN Live. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for-
for joining us for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken right here on Pickup Country 104.9 FM. Streaming live at listenlikealocal.com or on your mobile device with the free WSKB app for Android and Apple users. Don't forget, tonight's program is available on our on-demand player at listenlikealocal.com. Powell County Sports Network would like to thank their sponsors, Whitaker Bank, Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Powell County CSEP, Mercy Health, Appalachian Wireless, Citizens Guaranty Bank, Park Regional Medical Center, Hinkle Contracting, Davis & Davis Funeral Home, Toyota South, Ace Hardware & Feed, People's Exchange Bank, Teddy Flint Attorney at Law, Whitaker Insurance Group, Protex Security and Fire Systems, and Apex Physical Therapy. Stream the game to any internet-connected mobile device, made possible in part by Apex Network Physical Therapy, located at 156 West College Avenue in Stanton.